This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 408 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
And What Did You Watch This Week is to me is not a lot this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
I did not even manage to catch up on Creature Commandos.
You did not? Oh, interesting.
I did not. No. Nope.
They aired the finale this week.
I will have that watched by the next time we record. I assure you that.
So there were 7 episodes, and we got the finale, and we got the setup for the next season.
Nice. Yeah, I think I need to watch the last 2.
It's a good finale. Nice. It felt very James Gunn-y.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it's kind of where I'm at. I just need to watch the last 2 episodes. The private skelet and a very funny monster, apparently, is what it's called.
It is a very funny monster.
I started the only TV shows I really watched this week is we watched a bunch of The Waltons. And I finished up Twilight Zone with Jordan Peele, although I may have talked about that last week.
You were in the process of watching it. I don't know that you had finished it.
Yeah, so I finished up Twilight Zone. I have watched the entire run and then try and decide what I want to go with next. I haven't really figured that one out yet as far as my DVD sets that I own.
Okay.
But been watching a lot of The Waltons. We're quarter of the way through season 3. John Boy's graduated high school. He's now off to college. He's a college man, college boy, college kid. It's just a show I enjoy thoroughly. And then the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone. It's kind of interesting how both seasons, seasons 1 and 2, ended. Like almost, I don't want to say meta episodes, but you know what I mean?
Like they were very aware of themselves.
Well, like, all right. So season 1, episode 10, was called the Blurry Man. And, so Zazie Beetz is in it and Seth Rogen, Jason Priestley, and Jordan Peele's actually in it, not as just a narrator, but as himself. So it's about a Twilight Zone screenwriter, and that's who Zazie Beetz plays. And there's this blurry man in the background of all these scenes, so it's kind of like, ugh. And the blurry man ends up being Rod Serling.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, and Serling escorts Sophie through the door into the Twilight Zone, and Sophie's the Zazie Beetz character, who's the screenwriter and everything. Season 2 ends with an episode called You Might Also Like, which is connected to Serve Man. And it stars Gretchen Mol. And she plays Mrs. Warren. And the aliens in To Serve Man have like taken over this neighborhood and they're trying to destroy humanity. And it's also kind of told in a weird, like, self-aware type episode. Episode 9 of season 2 is called Try. It's with Topher Grace, and he's the guy who's stuck in a time loop.
Oh, I remember that one.
And what's really cool is that he's convinced that he's got to there's this girl that he saves from getting hit by a truck, and so he feels like he's destined to fall in love with her, and if he can somehow make their relationship work, it'll help him solve this time loop. We never get the justification as to why. He's just, this is what he's convinced of, except like his, as it says here, his approach borders on stalking. Mm-hmm. As he tries to explain the time loop to him and how like he's done all these different loops hundreds of times to try to get this moment right, and he just doesn't. And she's like, wait a second. And she doesn't find that appeal, like a charming or appealing, or like, wow, you're trying so hard to win me. She's like, well, why are you trying so hard? If I liked you, I would like you. Like, she's creeped out by it. Makes it even worse. And then when he tries to twist it and be like, well, I'm thinking I'll just kill you this time. And he starts being creepy, like he's threatening, like he's going to kill her or do this, that, or she just ups and punches him in the face. And he like falls down and cries and like, why'd you do that? And it's just, and it doesn't end satisfactorily for him. It's like his day starts again. And it's funny because he sees her, and instead of like going to talk to her or prevent whatever happened, he just turns and walks the other way. And that's how the episode ends. So like, it's a time loop. But like the guy who's stuck in the loop doesn't know how to get out of it. And the way he thinks he needs to get out of it, he's not getting it right. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I really liked that one.
But it's, you know, after watching through it, I'm kind of writing a blog post about it to put on my bear blog. Going through the original run, and then the movie, and then the 80s run, and then the Lost Classics, and then the 2002 run, and then now this one, you know, watching all the seasons beginning to end. You know, the original run is still my favorite, seasons 1 through 3 and season 5. Season 4 is just a waste of time. I would go the 2002 series next, the Jordan Peele series, and then season 3 from the 80s series, and then Lost Classics of the movies are just kind of there. The movie is very infamous for that helicopter scene. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not.
No.
So there's 4 segments in the Twilight Zone, the movie. And it's like the movie's produced by John Landis and Sylvester Stallone. No, Steven Spielberg. That's what I'm looking for.
The other SS.
Yeah. And there's 4 segments, and 3 of the segments are based on previous original episodes. But the other segment is Vic Morrow is a Vietnam veteran, and it's called Time Out. He's an Vic Morrow plays Bill Connor, an outspoken bigot who is bitter after being passed over promotion at work in favor of a Jewish coworker. So he ends up getting like transported in time to Nazi occupied France during World War II, and then he gets accused of being Jewish. And then all of a sudden, now he ends up in Alabama in the 50s dealing with the Klan. And then he ends up in Vietnam in the Vietnam War. And so he is now experiencing the racism and bigotry that he's putting out there. He's now experiencing it in all these different places. There's a scene in Vietnam where he's trying to save these 2 children. And he's running away from this helicopter that's crashing behind them. Mm-hmm. But it's 1982 and practical effects are a thing, and the helicopter falls on the actors and the 2 kids. But the worst part is the blade that's spinning cuts them all up. Decapitates all of them. And they die quickly but horribly on this set. And if you read it, it's like during the segment of the filming Time Out, directed by John Landis, and his career almost blew up on this. It was July 23rd, 1982 at 2:20 a.m., and it was a 7-year-old and a 6-year-old, and this helicopter was being on the set. They were hired in violation of California law, which prohibits child actors from working at night or in proximity to explosions and requires the presence of a teacher or social worker. And there was an incident where, let's see here, it says the probable cause of the accident was the detonation of debris laden high temperature special effects explosions too near a low flying helicopter, leading to the helicopter was flying and it That's right. Leading to foreign object damage to one of the rotor blades, and then that caused it to crash. The proximity of the helicopter on 25 feet off the ground to the special effects explosions due to the failure to establish a direct communication and coordination between the pilot, who was in command of the helicopter operation, and the film director, who was in charge of the filming. Yeah, so it actually fell on the kids and him, and it killed them all. Yeah.
Huh. One of those, like, simple, innocuous thing that changed the course of history.
Kind of, yeah. Yep. So it's pretty wild. There's footage out there of it. They didn't use it in the movie, of course. Yeah, but there's footage out there of the crash. It's been leaked online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Morrow and Lee were decapitated by the helicopter's main rotor blades, while Chen was crushed to death by the helicopter's right landing skid. All three died almost instantly.
Wow.
So, yeah, that sucks. Yeah. It's funny because, like, it's in... I don't remember this or not, but there was a series on Shudder called Cursed Films. Like, and it looks like The Exorcist and The Omen, Poltergeist, The Crow, Twilight Zone, the movie... Wizard of Oz, Rosemary's Baby, Stalker, The Serpent and the Rainbow, and Cannibal Holocaust. I think of all those movies, the only one I haven't seen is The Serpent and the Rainbow. Which surprises me, because that's a Wes Craven flick.
Yeah.
Yeah. How have I not seen that, actually? I need to make a point to watch that. Is it streaming anywhere? Come on. Nope. Oh, well. We'll work it out. But anyway, so yeah, I finished up Twilight Zone. I'm kind of sad a little bit that it's over, but it's actually been long enough. I want to go back and watch some of the first season episodes. Probably wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm trying to debate if I want to go to Friday the 13th, the series, or Night Gallery, or Tales from the Dark Side. Three.
I remember you talking about that last week, and you were kind of landing on the
Night Gallery.
Thank you. I was about to say Night Theory, and I'm like, why would I say Night?
Yeah, and I might, just because it's Rod Serling, so it'd be fun to watch some more Rod Serling, I guess.
Mm.
But anyhow, otherwise, TV shows, I got nothing. Because Ghost isn't back, and we were thinking about starting American Primeval on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about that one at all?
No.
Have you seen the trailers for it at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So it's a Western. I know you're not a Western fan.
No.
Set in 1857 during the Utah War, the series examines the fight to gain control of the American West and the sometimes violent clash between religion and culture in the Utah Territory. And the Utah War is apparently from 1857 to 1858. The resolution of the Utah War came through negotiations that permitted federal troops to enter the Utah Territory in exchange for a pardon to grant Mormon settlers for any potential acts of rebellion. So, yeah, this is between the Mormons and the United States. Well, Brigham Young was involved. Of course he was. But yeah, so that's a TV series on Netflix that we're kind of looking forward to. Taylor Kitsch is in it, and Betty Gilpin. So Kim Coates plays Brigham Young, actually. Yeah, nice. There's 6 episodes. It's one of those ones where it's all written by one guy and all directed by one guy. So it's a 6-hour movie. But you know what I mean.
When they try to do, like, one of the ones that I watched this week, we watched all 4 episodes of Inside Man, and that's not Man on the Inside with Ted Danson, which is still a phenomenal show. This is Inside Man, which came out a couple of years ago, and It's on Netflix. It's written and directed by Stephen Moffat. 4 episodes, 1 hour each. And it stars Stanley Tucci and David Tennant. And it's very good and very not good.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we both really loved about this. The Stanley Tucci parts especially. So Stanley Tucci plays a guy on death row for killing his wife.
Yes.
And he basically was a professor of criminology, and he takes cases where people come to him and say, can you help me figure out blah, blah, blah. David Tennant is across the pond in England as a vicar. And that's about all I'm going to say about this. It's a, like I said, it's 4 episodes. I think the whole thing takes place over the course of maybe 24 hours. Mm-hmm. There's some really good parts, especially the Stanley Tucci parts. The guy's amazing. He should always be a villain. Mm-hmm. Except, did you ever see Undercover Blues? Where he was muerte, which means death.
Yes.
He should not be the villain in that. No. But the David Tennant parts were surprisingly frustrating because it's almost like somebody wrote that whole section of the story to go the wrong way. Like, here's a map of how to do everything wrong. And you're watching it. You're like, well, that wouldn't have happened. Well, that why would somebody do that? Why would they do that? No, that's not going to happen. But it is interesting how the story plays out. The stories play out. I definitely recommend it. It's 4 hours of your life, and it's some phenomenal storytelling if you can get past the fact that there's some very frustrating stuff, but there's also some really clever stuff. And one of the most shocking scenes that I've seen in a while, because it's on a TV show. So I honestly give that one a pretty hard sell. I'm not going to be like hard, but I think you would enjoy it. And again, it's only 4 episodes. It's a 4-hour movie essentially. So
okay. No, I almost watched Jury number 2, but then as I was reading it, I was like, Kate might like this. I'm going to hold off.
I think she would.
Yeah. And then I started watching The Ruins from 2008. And then I got like 15 minutes and I was like, I don't want to watch this right now. And that's kind of how it happened. Like, I started a couple different movies on Shudder, and then I'd be like, I don't really want to watch this. Or like, I want to go to bed soon. I'm not going to be able to finish it. I'm not going to start this now. And because I watched a lot of wrestling this past week, and I watched a lot of Waltons and finished up Twilight Zone. And then we had wild card football playoffs to watch. And I didn't actually watch a full movie. You said you watched one.
Yep. But I also watched, I will say, 2 other shows.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's because I was saying, it was a 4-hour movie, so.
Yeah, I have movies on the brain.
5 episodes in of Dexter Original Sin. Gonna watch the 6th one tonight as soon as we get done here. And
how many episodes are in that season?
I think 10.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm really loving this. They are doing such a good job. And there's so many nods to the original series. There's so many things that you're like, oh, that's kind of a nod to this, or, oh, that'll come up later on in his life. So that's cool. They're doing it really well. The other one that was surprising is I finally sat down the other night. We were sitting there kind of listless, and Julia didn't want to make a decision. So I was like, fuck it. I'm taking the opportunity and I'm putting on something that I haven't ever watched and that I've wanted to watch for a while. And I put on the first episode of Shrinking on Apple TV.
Okay.
This is the one with Jason Segel and Harrison Ford. Phenomenal. I can't get enough of the show. Every episode has equal parts laughing and like heart-wrenching. So it's very much a Bill Lawrence, Scrubs. It's got the same kind of bones to that. The dialogue is amazing. It's very, very, again, Scrubs-esque, but more nuanced. It's been a decade or more since he's been writing this stuff. So, dude, you're going to love this show. When you finally get around to watching it, you're going to love it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jason Segel's great anyway. Harrison Ford basically gets to play his mentor slash another psychiatrist. And he just, he's the curmudgeon, you know, and he, you can tell that he loves playing that part. But the zingers are great. The banter that goes back and forth between people is amazing. So funny, but also so heart-wrenching. Like, there have been several times when we'd watch one half-hour episode and be like, I need to process that before I can move on to the next one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I enjoy that.
And the thing is, you find out about him and the people around him organically. It's not like they just hit you over the head with it. But you just find out as you go along. You might be sitting there going, well, now how does he know this person? And then you kind of learn it through just normal conversation, which I really appreciate, instead of having exposition or just like a dump of, oh, this is my friend so-and-so and we met back here, so that you're getting all the background. No, dude, this is a great show. We're 6 episodes in already. There's 2 seasons out so far, and the first season came out in 23. The second season came out in 24. I believe they're working on a 3rd season now.
Okay.
If your Apple TV is up to date, I seriously suggest this one. Yeah.
That's a good, okay. I've seen a lot of clips for it or reels or whatever. I've seen Jason Segel do a couple interviews talking about working with Harrison Ford and how much fun it is.
Mm-hmm.
And how great he is and how intimidating he was at first.
And there's at least one scene, I will tell you, where they're facing each other and Jason Segel does a Harrison Ford impression. And Harrison Ford goes, I don't talk that way. He's like, yes, you do.
Nice. But yeah, no, that sounds fun.
Yep. That's all we watch for shows this week, though, because... Oh, look, it's a spam caller who's going to tell me that they're trying to get me Medicare benefits.
Are you sure it's not taxes, tax relief?
Nope, nope. This is Medicare Part A and B.
I've been getting tax relief ones.
Nice.
I'll be like, I'm 45 years old. I don't qualify for Medicaid.
I got one.
I have a full-time job.
I got one guy to yell at me because they're all those robo, you know, they're like, great, yeah. Good to hear from you. And they said to me, they were like, so we've got all these benefits, blah, blah, blah. Do you have Medicare Part A and B? And I was like, no, I don't have fucking Medicare A and B. And they were like, hold on while we get a representative. And I'm like, what? And I hear this guy get on there and he's, I swear to God, he's just like, hello, how can I help you? And I was like, I don't have Medicare A and B. I don't want to be on your mailing list. And he screamed at me. He goes, then why did you come through? And hung up. I'm like, what the fuck?
Because I want you to take you off my mailing list.
I told the recording that I wasn't supposed to be here today. So, yeah. So you had 0 movies officially.
I never got through one. I never really got too much past the opening credits on a bunch of ones I tried watching. I just, it's so weird because I haven't, I don't even know, like I'm in my brain. There's a few movies like I want to watch, like, what was it? The Fall Guys on Peacock forever. Right. And it's like, I really do want to watch it at some point.
Mm.
And there's a few others that I want to check out. But like, then I go to put The Fall Guy on. It's 2.5 hours long. And I'm like, I don't have 2.5 hours to dedicate to this right now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's late. It's not like I'm putting 45 minute episode of a TV show on. It's like, you know, like I got home from wrestling last night at 9:30.
By the time I sat down, go through that kind of stuff.
And it's like, I'd like to watch a movie, but I don't want to stay up till midnight to watch a movie.
Mm hmm.
And I might accidentally stay up till midnight organically because it just happens. But there's a difference between that and sitting down and going like, yep, I'm going to stay up till midnight to watch this movie because I'll never stay up that late. I'll get tired and have to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you run the risk of doing the thing where you now are too awake and you're going to be up even extra. Yep.
So, yeah, so I just didn't get to it or just didn't happen. But you said you watched one. What was that one?
Yes. Controversial one in this household. We watched I Saw the TV Glow.
Oh.
Julia's over there over my shoulder.
I thought that was fucking terrible.
So I did not enjoy most of it. There were some very nice visuals.
Sure.
There were some interesting cinematography choices, you know.
Yep.
Shot for shot, it was great. But we talked about it afterwards because Julia absolutely loved it. Like, she was floored. She loved it. And I was like, I just didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. And I think what it came down to, the best that I can figure out so far, is that she was going into it looking at it as an artistic piece.
Yeah.
And I went into it looking at it as a mystery to be solved. So I was trying to solve the mystery. I was trying to figure out what was going on. And there was no mystery to solve. There was nothing, like, it wasn't a whodunit. It wasn't a thriller. Like, it was meant to be an artistic piece. And I was approaching it from the wrong angle. So that's not me saying, you know, so now I like it. I still had a hard time with it. I still didn't really enjoy most of it. But it was definitely not because I was like, this is just a piece of shit. Like, I was coming at it that this was going to be like, okay, let's figure out what's going on. Ooh, missing girl. Let's figure out where she went. And then she just shows back up. And I'm like, well, where's the mystery? And then you get to the end of the movie. And I'm like, there was no mystery to solve. And there's no answers. And there's no explanation, because it wasn't meant to be. It was meant to be an artistic piece. And my brain just wasn't having that. So you had seen this before.
I have, yes. I have seen this movie before. Do you have a Letterboxd? Do you know what Letterboxd is?
I know what Letterboxd is, yeah.
Do you have a Letterboxd account?
Oh, no, I do not.
So I have a Letterboxd account because I just do. And I have a list on my Letterboxd account that is movies I don't like, but everyone else seems to. And this is on that list.
Oh, is Joker also on that list?
Joker's on that list. Absolutely. Nosferatu is on that list.
Hmm.
Yep. I just don't. Interesting. Just didn't care for this movie.
Yeah, I've run into a few of those myself, like this one, like Joker. That's why I brought it up, where, yeah, the general consensus is this was an amazing movie. And I'm sitting here going, I didn't like it. I saw something different, you know.
Yeah, I just didn't care for it. Just didn't
care. Just makes me think of that scene on Family Guy. I did not care for The Godfather. You didn't care for The Godfather? It insists upon itself. What do you mean it insists upon itself?
I mean, yeah, basically, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, I have this list that's called movies I don't like that everyone seems to like, and that's one of the several movies on that list.
Now, I've never signed up for Letterboxd. Do people get to, like, come in and give you feedback or comment?
I don't really know, to be honest. I don't use it that much. My buddy Brandon uses it. I apparently signed up months ago and rated a bunch of movies and then started looking at it again recently and putting some stuff on there. My movie tastes are very maybe simple. I don't know. I've never been into the art house, like, experimental type, arty, whatever movies, because they just don't work for me. I was very disappointed when I saw the TV glow. I was kind of excited about it, and then it was just nonsensical to me.
I don't even know if it's 50-50, but I have some of the, you know, what you said, art house, that I have ended up really enjoying them. And then some that, you know, like Joker, where I just can't. My co-worker the other day was talking about that. And he said, you know, that he really liked the first Joker, but he hated the second one. I said, I really didn't like the first Joker at all. And a big part of that was because they tried to wedge it into the DC universe. You know, they tried to. If he had just been a crazy person, if he was struggling with these mental issues and stuff and the world was getting him down, if it was just about we've talked about this, if it was just about mental health and the break in the system, I think I probably would have enjoyed it more. But the fact that they were trying to make it Joker and that they had the Waynes and that they had Gotham City. That took me right out of it, and it really made it less enjoyable.
Yep, I completely understand that. You know, I do. I completely understand his feeling on how they wedged that movie in and what they tried to make it, and how I just disagree with that.
Yep.
And Joker 2 is one that I almost feel like I need to watch so I can appropriately hate on it. But then it's like, yes. I really want to put the effort into that.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. News and trailers.
News and trailers.
Go ahead.
Holes is apparently getting a TV series on Disney Plus.
They're
at least shooting the pilot.
Yep.
Which is interesting. I mean, basically, if they're going to do it as a show, they could cover a lot of the, you know, stuff that happens in between, because it was very condensed as a movie. But there's definitely an ending, like finding the girl there, or, you know, proof of her existence, finding the city in her last money, you know, her last heist.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the show very much, the movie very much. If I remember correctly, they dug a bunch of holes looking for treasure.
But they were never told that that's what they were looking for.
Correct.
They were just bad kids.
Yes. Digging part of their giant holes in the desert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't mute when I burped. Sorry.
Nice.
I hit the mute button, but it didn't function.
Yeah, I had a nice blast of a few trailers there.
Yeah, in the Lost Lands. Premise, a queen, desperate to find happiness and love, takes a daring step. She sends the powerful and feared witch Grey, Elise, to the Lost Lands to give her magical gift of turning into a werewolf with a mysterious hunter Boyce who supports her in fight against dark creatures and merciless enemies. Grey roams in the airy and dangerous world, and only she knows every wish she grants has unimaginable consequences. Yeah, pass.
Paul W.S. Anderson and George R.R. Martin.
It's based on his short story.
Yeah. First off, stop with these people who have two middle initials. Cut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. I wanted it to, but I looked at it and I was like, eh.
Yeah, and it's just, I'm a pass.
Companion looks good for a horror movie. Basically, guy hacks his sex doll and starts controlling her, and then she becomes aware and does the whole thing where she turns up her
intellect. Stop. Just stop. It's got Jack Quaid in it, though, and I do like me some Jack Quaid.
He's in a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, he does seem to have a lot of stuff coming out. But we just got, what was that? There's another AI flick there with
Subservience or something Kumar like that.
And Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
Mm-hmm. Megan Fox is in that.
Megan Fox is in the other one where she's basically a sex doll too. And she goes all Basic Instinct, Fatal Attraction on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just it's this is like when we had all those like Volcano and Eruption and Twister and Tornado and Deep Impact and Armageddon, like all these different natural disaster flicks that they come up. You know, oh, this one was good. Let's do another one.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's AI stuff. So Hard Eyes. This looks like a great slasher flick.
Yeah. For the past several years, the Heart Eyes Killer has wreaked havoc on Valentine's Day by stalking and murdering romantic couples. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I'm here awesome. For that.
I'm good. I'm down for a good horror movie on Valentine's.
Yeah, pretty solid. The Gorge, TV Plus original.
And it's a movie, so it's not going to be like dragged out. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Two elite snipers are assigned a mysterious mission to guard either side of a deep and impenetrable gorge without knowing what actually lies beneath them. Here's what I don't get. Why are they not allowed to talk to each other?
Because it'll distract them. That's why they're solo. because you don't want to be distracted. You have a mission. And especially if one's a boy and one's a girl, or I guess, you know, in any way they could try to talk to each other and then they get distracted and then they try to meet up with each other. And, you know.
Sure.
They have to guard the gateway to hell.
But ultimately, I think this trailer looks fantastic.
Yep.
Another
Valentine's release.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this flick. It looks really, really good. Rory McCann may play the guy from Game of Thrones who played the Hound. He was the Hound, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he might be playing
Balin Skull.
Balin Skull for Ray Stevenson, who passed away.
Yep.
You know what? I can see that.
I can. Yep.
I can see that. I'm good with that.
Now I wonder if they're going to explain his difference in looks or if they're just going to be like, yeah, just go with it.
They're probably just going to be like, yeah, let's just go with it.
Yeah.
I sent you the trailer for The Working Man, which is Taken Jason Statham style.
Yep. That sure is.
I mean, he's a construction foreman working for these rich people. He's got a particular set of skills. His daughter gets abducted, if you will, or their daughter gets abducted, and he's going to go get her back because he's fond of her.
Mm-hmm. And because she was taken.
And because she was taken, and he has a particular set of skills. It looks great. It looks stupid. It looks foolish. It looks great. So. And then I say the trailer over on the Instagram for Dark Match, which is going to be on Shudder at the end of the month. And a small-time wrestling company accepts a well-paying gig in the backwoods town only to learn too late that the community is run by a mysterious cult leader with devious plans for their match. Chris Jericho has a part in it. And looks like a fun, low-budget flick. With some horror elements. And pro wrestling.
I look forward to your review of said.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm also going to rip the shit out of it, you know?
Yeah. I would expect no less.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks fun, though. Looks fun.
All right.
You know, I just thought of that. I did actually watch... I don't know if you want to call it a documentary, but I watched all the special features on the collector's edition of In a Violent Nature. And that's that slasher flick told from the point of view of the slasher that did real big at the independent box office there in the movies. And it kind of blew up pretty good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And apparently the guy had tried to film the movie in 2021. And he filmed all this footage. And then when he went to string it together to make the flick, he just wasn't happy with it. And he actually just made the decision to scrap it all, recast, and start over. And learn from his mistakes and refilm this movie in a different way. And only one brief scene from the original film made it into the movie. And so they had a documentary about that. They had the special features behind the scenes showing them shooting the original movie. They had the footage that he kind of edited from the original movie. And then, you know, the making of this and everything. So I did watch all those. That was fun. I haven't watched special features like that in detail in a long time on a home video release.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I've had a very strong urge to watch Spider-Man No Way Home again. But I just need to find that block of time to sit down and enjoy it.
See, I would have to do all three back to back.
No, I don't feel the need.
Homecoming, Far From Home, No Way Home.
Yeah. But anywho, I don't really have anything else. Do you?
I do not. No.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's our show this week. You can find me on socials as Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
And that's it.
Allegedly talk to you next week.
Yeah. I mean, we will. Maybe.
Maybe.
Well,
Can't trust us.